Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to the second season of Talk Ward. I am here with Kabir, and we are going to be talking about Supercharge. Kabir, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'm Kabir, and this is a difficult introduction. Let's see. So I am an iOS developer, I guess, and I'm from New Delhi, India. And I've made a few projects in the past. So if any of you know about Theos Jailed, which is pretty much the de facto tool to build jailed tweaks at this point, that was me. If you know about pretty much any Swift app on Cydia or any package manager, pretty much uses this package called LibSwift, which I built. And most recently, I've been working on Supercharge. So I think I should give a quick introduction about Supercharge.
Go ahead. Tell everyone, for the people listening who might not know what Supercharge is, just give a quick overview of what it's about.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Supercharge is, it's basically, it's sort of an ecosystem, and it's an app. It's an iOS app which works on both jailed as well as jailbroken devices, and it allows you to create, share, and install tweaks on pretty much any device. That includes 8.12 and 8.13, which, although jailed support isn't available yet, that's going to be coming very soon. So yeah, basically, if you want to make tweaks or if you want to install tweaks on your jail device or even tweaks, any tweaks made by developers who built them using Supercharge, Supercharge is the place to go.
Okay, great overview. Just a quick side note. To any of you who are thinking about check raining an iPad while it's just after it's turned on, don't do that. That's my free piece of advice for you, because it literally just turned on. I hit start on check rain to enter it into recovery mode, and it gave me the battery low sign, which is lovely.
Ouch.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I did that once. So something similar. I was at WWDC in 2017, and I was updating my iPad to iOS 11, was it? And it was a beta, and well, I sort of managed to break my device, and they had to use Purple Restore to fix it.
Yikes.
Pretty convenient that they had that, because it was WWDC, but yeah, don't do that.
That bad.
Don't be
that
me.
Bad.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Right. Okay, so let's talk a bit more about how Supercharge began. So what gave you the idea for Supercharge?
I don't even remember exactly where I got the idea from, but the thing is that the seeds were pretty much sown when I started developing jailed stuff. So, for example, Theos Jailed itself, I think it's mainly the experience. So I did know that all of the pieces were possible because I had made Theos Jailed, which would allow you to create jailbroken tweaks, except it required a Mac. And the thing is that I also knew about Flex and stuff like Extensify, if you've heard of that. So these are tools that work on your own jail device. Flex works on jailbroken devices, but Extensify works on jail devices. And what they allow you to do is that they sort of allow you to make your own tweaks, or they allow you to sort of mix and match stuff. And I thought I would take the best of all of these worlds and combine them into a single tool called Supercharge, which also has some pretty novel stuff, if I do say so myself. I mean, for example, I did create my own programming language for it. It sort of makes it really easy to...
I was super impressed.
Well, thank you. The best part is that it works on jail devices as well. I know that, I've said that a ton, but... And there isn't really anything tangible for a lot of people to see right now because the jail version isn't out yet, but it's going to be out soon, and it works like magic. Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. So here's an interesting question for you. Do you see Supercharge closer to Shortcuts or closer to Flex?
Okay, that's a difficult one. In terms of the UI, I will admit it looks like Shortcuts, but here's the thing, and I think this is a testament to AeSign's amazing design skills. I think that's how I pronounce his name. I've never actually asked him how his name is pronounced, but yeah, I'm just gonna say Asain from now on. So thing is that when we made Supercharge, the initial UI for it, this was 2017. This was before Shortcuts even came out. The fact that Shortcuts look so much like Supercharge is pretty much just an eerie coincidence. Because like, if you go to our Twitter and you check the tweet where we teased the design at first, that was way before Shortcuts was ever released. I mean, yeah, it looks a little bit like Workflow as well, sure, but Workflow is pretty different. So, but
Fully agree. I
that's
mean,
to answer the
I
UI question.
yeah.
So if I'm answering in terms of functionality, I'd say it's closer to Flex because the thing is that Shortcuts is it's pretty powerful and so is Flex, but the way that Supercharge works is way closer to the way that Flex works than the way that Shortcuts works. Although the spirit of tweaking your device to do your own stuff is pretty much shared between all three apps.
Because I was gonna say when you brought up the Shortcuts UI is I completely understand because the in terms of it being I'm gonna be super general here in terms of it being like sort of tweaks to the device you build yourself, there's only a certain number of ways you can do that UI, and I feel like that sort of Shortcuts Supercharged style is really it's sort of the best sort of possible outcome for a UI like that.
Yeah, I'd say that both Supercharge and Shortcuts iterated on what Workflow had, and we took whatever there was in that design and tried to improve it, and we both basically just ended up on the same thing.
Yeah, that's a completely fair assessment. Just okay, let's oh, my iPad booted into recovery mode. This is either very good or very bad. Time to find out which. Just bear with me like a second. I just want to make sure it still works, otherwise, you know. Okay. But yeah, at what point did you decide that writing your own language is the best way to proceed?
Okay, so the way that this language came up was actually a bit convoluted because so initially it was more similar to Flex because of the way that tweaking actually worked. So what I had was that I had this plist file. I mean, I might need to go a little bit technical for this, but I think most people should be able to keep up with it. So basically, the way it worked was that you had a file and you basically specified in that file just like a list of methods. It was sort of an array of methods. And there would be attached to that essentially a list of, so there was an array of methods and there was a list of overrides. So stuff like I want to change this I want to change this argument. So there would be like index one inside of the dictionary inside the array would have a different value to what the existing argument would be. So that's sort of an oversimplification of it. And then I realized that I wanted more customizability than what Flex offered because in many situations I might want to like done just a short JavaScript snippet, right? So basically I added a feature where you can sort of add an override inside that plist file, which allows you to run a short snippet of JavaScript. And this was in fact I mean, you can sort of see the history of Supercharge through my Twitter, although I don't post too much. So if you go to twitter.com/KabirObray, there was a post way long ago which talked about, I think there was this Plex tweak that I made, and it basically sort of it takes all of the labels in the app and it replaces spaces with the clap emoji, and it SpongeBob cases all of the text. So, yeah, I ripped that idea off Jamie. Credit where credit is due.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Dynastic has made quite a few things like that over the years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had a keyboard for this, so like, I really liked that, and I wanted to do it with
Oh,
like,
random keys. I keep bugging them to release an updated version, and they're like dragging their heels on it.
when
Because it's like
ETA
written,
Golden Rings,
it's
am I
just one of
right?
them needs to submit it to the store.
Yeah, exactly. let's not bother Jamie too much on this, because he's not even
It's
here.
okay. I bother Jamie all the time. He's used to it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, so that's basically where it started because I couldn't do that without JavaScript. So I basically just built the JavaScript thing for that. And then after that, I realized that it might just be simpler to build the entire thing off JavaScript and go the other way around. So I created a JavaScript API for building tweaks. And then I realized the JavaScript was too cumbersome to do that. So I created a language on
As
top
with
of that,
everything.
which would. Yeah, exactly. Because like, who uses JavaScript? I mean, I realize that's a bit ironic for me to say, considering the fact that Objective Script is literally built on top of JavaScript. But yeah, that's basically the way that it happened. And so now the way Objective Script works is actually sort of the other way, which is that the entire thing, the entire Objective Script tweak, is basically a big JavaScript file in the end. And what happens is that whenever you create hooks inside Supercharge, they are actually converted into Objective Script, which is then converted into JavaScript, which is then executed by the runtime.
Okay,
So, yeah.
that's pretty cool.
So basically, that's how Objective Script evolved. And then I just kept on adding features to it until I realized it was basically an entire programming language. I mean, the thing is that it's not just going to stop here though, because I do have a lot of plans for the future of Objective Script. So if you know about Script, which is CYCRIPT, sorry, it consists that we call it that. That's Sorik's
Instead of
JavaScript-based
like
Objective
actually
C
like
thing.
pronouncing it like a single word, like a regular human being.
Yeah, exactly. It's like supposed to be pronounced with a prolonged S. It's like script
Oh,
or something.
Jesus God. I just call it
Yeah,
Psycript,
so.
but like I'm
Yeah,
uncivilized.
exactly. That's what I call it in my head. But like. So basically, I sort of wanted to create something similar to that as well, which is a debugging tool that can allow you to debug any iOS app on your device. It just makes it really simple to debug. And like, there's so many times that I wished I had a script replacement, but I just can't be bothered to compile Sorik stuff myself. And a lot of it doesn't work on Mac OS anymore or newer versions of iOS. So Supercharge is much more powerful as well, which is, I mean, Objective Script is much more powerful as well, which is why I basically just want to build an entire app out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Sometimes you don't have what you need, so you have to build what you need. So what do you see for sort of, okay, well, that's, I probably started that question weird. What do you see in the future of Objective Script beyond Supercharge?
So Objective Script in particular.
Do you see other
Okay.
developers maybe sort of adopting it and building their own things with it?
All right. So I did sort of mention this in the documentation of Objective Script as well, which is if you go to obj.dev. So there's sort of a roadmap thing mentioned there, although it's not really a roadmap, it's just examples of stuff that I would love to see. Which is basically I really want to see something like an entire IDE that can be used to build sorry, just regular apps out of Objective Script, because that would be pretty crazy. I mean, the thing is that if you look at the Objective Script source code, I do have an entire just like a massive file, which is the entire the Theos template for a basic application. I just rewrote the entire thing in Objective Script, and it works perfectly. So
Nice.
the thing is that it's definitely possible to build iOS apps with Supercharge and sorry, with Objective Script, but it's at the moment there's no actual app that does that. I mean, with Supercharge,
Someone
the
could
thing
make a
is
mod
that
for objective basic object words hard visual visual basic v b b b b b b VSC. The acronyms are easy. As a mod for VSC, Visual Studio Code.
So yeah,
I
okay,
went for
so
Visual Studio and then I thought Visual Basic and it all just sort of
Yeah, so it should be, I mean, it could be possible to make a mod for Visual Studio Code as an IDE that does that. But the thing is that I don't want to attach it to any particular IDE, at least when you're talking about building Objective-C on the computer. The thing is, if you're building it on device, yeah, someone would need to create their own IDE for that. Or you could use the Supercharger's built-in script editor. In fact, if you just go to Supercharge, you just like all you need to do is you can take any target app that you that's like disposable, add a hook to it, just make it pop up your own screen and write whatever code you want. Just go ham there. You can basically build your own app entirely from there. So it technically is possible, but I mean the ultimate goal would be to basically allow you to use Supercharge to create or whatever the new IDE would be called. To create entirely new apps from scratch, to build like an IPA file that you can install. And I do have a lot to say about IPA file installation, maybe later in the episode. I see a few questions about that. So, yeah, well, we can talk about that when we get to it.
So, in terms of sort of words are hard. Just give me a second. Basically, I had a really good question and then someone asked it, so I'm just kind of like reeling now. God damn you. Okay, I'm gonna credit you for the question, but I'm just letting you know deep down there's a sort of resentment here for you stealing my question. What is the long-term goal for Supercharge in terms of capability and scope? And that is from Berg.
All right, well, I think I mentioned this at the beginning, but the way I see Supercharge more than anything is as an entire ecosystem. So, I mean, it's because of the fact that if you look at stuff like RStar sideloaded, at least in like the days where it was like thriving and stuff, there were so many tweaks going around for jail devices. That sort of faded out now. And the thing is, I believe that Supercharge is what we need, is what the community needs to revive that. And if that does manage to happen, we could have an entire community of jail tweaks and jailbroken tweaks as well, which I'll get into in a second. But we could have an entire community of tweaks that are on the Supercharge store. And right, so basically, that's another thing that's planned, which is that we plan to release a store soon. Hopefully 2020. So basically this store is going to allow you to distribute any tweaks that you make on it, and you can download other people's tweaks from there. You can even sell tweaks if you want to. So this is going to sort of provide a platform for tweak developers, especially jail developers, because of the fact that traditionally jail tweak distribution has involved giving IPAs, which is considered piracy by most. This sort of has a way to circumvent that, which makes it easy for jail tweak developers to distribute their tweaks on the store, as well as for users to download these tweaks and install them onto their device without having to, without the middleman or the tweak developer having to worry about any sort of piracy related issues. So I think that Supercharge is definitely going to help with that. And in addition, when it comes to jailbroken tweaks, I mean, the thing is that Supercharge makes it really easy to make jailbroken tweaks. So if you see our subreddit or if you see even our search jailbreak recently, there's been quite a few people who've been making really interesting tweaks. Someone actually made a dark mode for Supercharge as well. I think that was Skitty, who's, I think it's his birthday today, in fact. So happy birthday, Skitty. I don't think he's on
Shout out,
this, but
Skyhawk.
Yeah, so he made a dark mode for Supercharge in Objective Script, and this was before the documentation even existed, which pretty nice. I mean, it shows me that you don't really like it's sort of intuitive, I guess, because if you know Objective Script or Java, Objective C or JavaScript, you can develop Objective Script tweaks. The thing is that basically, since there's so many people making tweaks and they really want to distribute them, and there's no actual centralized way to discover tweaks at the moment, I think the perfect way to do that would be through the store. And with this community that we build, it can basically just revitalize the entire side loading scene. And honestly, that would just be amazing if I had the opportunity to help with that. So yeah, that's basically sort of the roadmap. I mean, or at least that's sort of where I see Supercharge in the future.
Okay. I feel like last question would probably have been a better way to do this, but let's segue over to the community question segment. Okay. First question is also from Berg. On a different topic, how did Kabir and A-Sign get into iOS development, and what are your sig most significant projects before Supercharge? A-Sign is not on this episode, but Kabir, if you want to just go ahead.
Yeah, so he's actually there in the channel, but he's not speaking right now. So I can speak for myself. Well, I got into iOS development. I think I was around, let's see, 11 years old. I don't exactly remember how it got started, but I basically was already into sort of making websites and stuff, although they were pretty crappy websites because, like, I mean, I was 11. Got me some slack. Then I realized that iOS development is so powerful, so I looked up YouTube videos on it, because the thing is, in the beginning, I always viewed it as the sort of thing where it's only, I assumed that it was only like a few people who could make iOS apps, like people who iOS, I mean, who Apple chose. I never knew that literally anyone could make iOS apps if they wanted to. And when I learned that that was possible, I was pretty blown away. And I started developing like some basic stuff. The first thing I made was basically the most useless app in existence, which is you open it up and it gives you a countdown of 3 seconds and it closes itself.
The funniest thing is I was just about to make a joke because 2 weeks ago, was it 3 weeks ago now? I forget. I had Micah on and I was talking about like what's the worst project you ever made, and his was a counting app as well.
Yeah,
Is it just a thing where every developer makes a really bad counting app earlier in their career?
I guess. Well, I mean, it's sort of the best way to say it's a feature, not a bug, you know? I mean, yeah, basically, and the thing is that I really wanted to make sure that this app wouldn't just crash. So I ended up looking into private APIs and stuff until I found a way to close the app without crashing it, like with a proper animation. That was basically how I got started. And then after that, I made like one or two games. They were all pretty crappy, but basically after that, that's when like I got interested in jailbreak development, basically the jailbreak community. And I mean there were of course a few apps I made in the middle. I published one or two in the App Store, which I'd rather not talk about because again, not the best apps. But then after that, I made Theos Jailed, which was based on another project by the same name. Yeah, I'm not great at naming things. So
I mean,
then
look at the podcast you're in. We're literally called Talkboard because Spring Board.
hey, that's still better than calling something Theos Shared based on Theos Shared. The difference is the fact that there's no hyphen between the Theos and the Jailed. That is literally the difference.
I
so if you
mean,
go to like yeah, sorry,
at
go
least you
ahead.
can tell what it is just by looking at the name.
But I guess, I mean, yeah, but I think a few people have thought that this is the exact same thing as the other one. It's not even a fork is the thing. It's like a completely revamped concept. And instead of basically the original Theos Shell was just a hackily put together command line script that converts your Theos tweak into a jailed IPA. This is an entire Theos module that you can install into Theos and stuff. In fact, if we're talking about the story to continue from there, that sort of got me interested in Theos itself. And I learned a lot about the internals of Theos from sort of trying to build my own module for it. And with that, I contributed to Theos quite a bit. In fact, like most of the Swift stuff, or at least like around half of the Swift stuff in Theos is my contribution, along with Kirby, who's also pretty helpful with Swift. Yeah, and then after Theos, I sort of then I released LibSwift as well, which is another package which is used by like in a ton of stuff, including Chimera. And then after that, well, Cilio, not Chimera, but then after that, yeah, so I finally started working on Supercharge. It's sort of crazy because like I don't actually have any apps that look good besides Supercharge. And when I initially told John Coates about this, the guy who made Flex, he was like, "Are you sure you can do that? Like, I don't think you have any experience in iOS development." But like, I didn't want to show him any of my crappy apps. Yeah, so I mean, it worked out in the end, I guess. So that's nice. Yeah. So that's basically sort of my story in terms of iOS
Okay.
development.
Also, while Kabir was telling us his stories, Asine commented in chat that he started with a theme called Light like 7 years ago. Okay. Right, next question. Are there any plans on integrating self-signing onto a jailed version of Supercharge, similar to AltStore?
Well, do I have news for you? That is basically half of the appeal of Supercharge, the jailed version, that
Nice.
is. So, I have actually been working a lot with Riley recently. He's the guy who made AltStore, and I've also been working with the guy who made Reprovision. So basically, what the jailed version of Supercharge does is it's not just about injecting the tweak into the IPA file, which is also a whole lot of magic. There's another major thing to it, which is the fact that it can install IPA files onto your device without the need for a computer, even if it's jailed. And I don't think anyone has ever achieved that before, at least not publicly. It does use a couple of things that Apple might possibly patch, but fingers crossed that they don't. Yeah, so basically with the jailed version of Supercharge, what you can do is you initially are going to have to install it using a computer. So you basically just like connect your computer to your phone and you tap a button. It installs Supercharge for you, and then on you don't need a computer at all. You can literally just open Supercharge, take any IPA file you want, tap a button, and it installs it onto your jail device. So yeah. That's probably like the craziest part and something I'm really proud of.
Yeah,
And
no, that sounds amazing. Okay. Oh,
thanks.
that question, by the way, was from L020. Okay, next question is from Samalop Cimmerian Itta. Please tell me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Recently, we've got Check Rain, new tweaks that rose from the ashes, like Don't Stop the Parties. Even emulators like Dolphin have decided to come out on iOS. Plus, with Supercharge coming, are you thrilled about the new golden age?
I am extremely excited about that, and well, Supercharge was sort of built to usher in a new golden age, and I think that we definitely do have a golden age now because of Chimera, especially. I mean, sorry, because of Check Rain, especially, but with Supercharge, that's going to be even better because of the fact that it works on any iOS device, even if it's beyond the iPhone X. So, yeah, I'm definitely thrilled about that. And the more people that are making tweaks and using tweaks, the better the community becomes, and the more tweaks that people can share on the store. And I'm also really excited about the fact that people are learning new programming languages, and they're using Objective Script as their first programming language. I found like two or three people who have messaged me and told me that Objective Script is the programming language they're considering learning first, which is sort of crazy. I would never imagine that someone starting with a programming language that I created. Like, what? I don't trust myself that much. But yeah, so basically, yeah, I'm really thrilled about it, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's huge.
Definitely is.
Yeah, it's crazy because like we had talk of like around So the iOS 11, 12 era of like this being like the start of the end for jailbreaking,
Yeah,
and
and
all that's happened now is we're proving it's just as strong as it's ever been.
exactly. It's just the beginning in a lot of ways.
Okay, so Gabe 2 asks, is there a date for supercharged jailed version?
Well, I'll be a bit frank here. I'm notoriously bad with deadlines. So I'm not going to give a deadline for the jailed version of Supercharge. But if you go to the website, what I can say is that we are planning to release it in 2020.
Yeah, you guys don't really want to know what the original sort of guest date was for this episode of Talk Back.
Oh, and you don't want to know
Because,
what the oh yeah, that.
yeah, because
Well,
I
yeah,
can
let's
sum it
not get
up in
into
one
that.
word, and that word is July.
And you also don't want to know what the original release date for Supercharge was. So yeah, let's just not talk about that. Next question.
What's okay, I already asked this one. This one was from Berg. What was the long-term goal? Next question is from Equinox. How long has the app been in development now? And were there major changes along the way you didn't plan for?
All right, so I guess I can answer this because the app has been in development since early 2017. That's 2.5 years now. So yeah, it started off just before WWDC 17, before I met Jamie. I had the idea for Supercharge, and I started working on like a proof of concept. And then when I got to WWDC, I also managed to show it to Jamie, who was in fact there for like the initial stages. So I showed it to him, and he was pretty blown away by it, which did motivate me quite a bit. Yeah, so it's been in development since then, and ObjectiveScript has also been in development for around 2 years. If you go to the GitHub repo, you can check the commit history. In fact, again, tying back into my being notoriously bad with deadlines, I did sort of predict like a few earlier release dates for ObjectiveScript and Supercharge and stuff. And the thing is that a lot of people, in fact, didn't even believe that Supercharge was an actual product because, firstly, yeah, I mean, it does sound a bit too good to be true. And secondly, I just kept on, I did tell people that I was going to release it. And then, I mean, they never actually ended up seeing it then. And I sort of went dark on Twitter for a while, as well as on both my personal account as well as the Supercharge account. So yeah, well, I started working on it in 2017, if that answers the question. And let's see, but the other part of the question is, were there major changes along the way? Oh God, yeah. So well, one of the major changes along the way, I mean, so firstly, when I began working on Supercharge, I had no idea how difficult it was going to be, and I tell you, ignorance is bliss. Because if I didn't know how difficult it was going to be, I mean, if I did know how difficult it was going to be, I would have never started working on it. But so what happened is that initially, I just thought it was going to be like a basic. I mean, even with my proof of concept, I thought that when I built the proof of concept, it would just take a couple of months to build like a GUI around it that works. At that point, I never planned on writing my own programming language. I never planned on doing the installation stuff myself. I never planned on doing, well, the IP downloading stuff either. So, yeah, so that was those were some of the major changes that came along the way. One of a few of the hurdles that I faced recently are firstly, IPA downloading and installation. So, with regards to IPA downloading, well, I was initially planning on partnering with a signing service. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to take names right now. But in fact, Aaron, if I can, or just let me know if I can. But yeah, so I was planning on partnering with a signing service initially to do this, and I actually built an entire wrapper around that API, and I built a lot of the GUI around that API because it would allow you to download IPAs with a single tap of a button, which is pretty crazy because like at the moment, if you go to like any IPA downloading website, you have to like go to like 1,000 links and then like a bunch of ads and stuff, until you finally get to the link, and there's like a 50% chance it's not even gonna work. So basically, I built like a really nice way to actually download IPA files with the tap of a button, and then I sort of figured that there would definitely be legal issues with that, so I scrapped that like a couple of weeks ago, which really sucked. But I mean, that does mean that people are gonna have to get their own IPA files, but if you really want to tweak an app, I'm sure you can just do that much. But that was, so that was one of the hurdles, and another hurdle that I faced was installation. So installation is something that is like a massive part of Supercharge, the jailed version. When it comes to installation, I was initially expecting to just use this tool called Meteorite, which is being worked on at the moment by Umang. If you've heard of him, he's helped with a ton of tools, and AppTap. So they're working on Meteorite, and I was initially planning to use that for the entire installation process, but as it turned out, Meteorite itself is, at the moment, the current scope of Meteorite is just sort of like LDID, which means it just signs the file. It doesn't actually connect to the developer portal to install the provisioning profile and stuff, and it doesn't actually install the IPA onto your device. So I had to do those two massive things myself, and those took quite a while. And another hurdle that came up recently was that Apple sort of caught on to tools like AltStore, Impactor, and Reprovision, and they patched the method that was being used earlier. So that basically meant that I mean, the night that they did that, it was night for me. I was up till like 5 a.m. or something, just trying to figure out what they'd done so that I could undo it. And it turns out it's way harder than I thought it was. And basically, I had to reverse engineer. So like, this involved reverse engineering the entire Apple authentication API, which uses stuff like the Secure Response Protocol, which is a bunch of cryptography. There's like a bunch of obfuscated code as well. And then at least the final API endpoints are still the same, but the authentication stuff is really difficult to reverse engineer. So in fact, if you look at AltStore and Reprovision, if any of you have used either of those, the new authentication code in those is actually work that I've done. So that was basically my reverse engineering. I whipped up like a quick proof of concept, which was implemented into both. Well, it was like 750 lines, so I don't know how quick you would call that. That was basically implemented into both Reprovision and AltStore, and it's sort of ironic that it got there before I could make it into Supercharge, because but the thing is that there's one more hurdle that we're yet to clear, and in fact, this is basically, if I'm going to be honest, this is one of the main things that's stopping us from releasing the jailed version of Supercharge right now. And it's the fact that Apple has this one obfuscated algorithm to generate this thing called anisit data, which it sort of fingerprints the device, and we don't know how to generate that ourselves yet. And I mean, Riley was pretty smart. He managed to find a workaround using a mail plugin. Basically, that's not really something you can do on jailed iOS. And speaking of that, even Reprovision does it through, I mean, the fact that it's jailbroken means that it can use private entitlements and stuff, which allows it to basically pretend like it's a system, and it can then do the authentication without having to generate that data itself. So that's basically the main hurdle right now. And yeah, those are the major changes, I guess, to summarize.
Okay. So just a quick final question from Berg again. He's had a few questions. Any good resources slash tutorials slash courses to learn iOS dev from? I've recently started poking around Swift coming from a Python slash R background. Is
All
R
right,
Ruby,
so
or is there a language I'm not aware of?
it's a programming language in itself.
Oh, yeah.
So So basically, the way I started learning iOS development was initially through lynda.com, which is owned by LinkedIn at the moment. I wouldn't actually recommend that for newcomers to the scene because there's way better resources at the moment. Another one that was good at the time was Udemy. The thing is with Udemy, their tactics aren't really the best in terms of marketing. And there's also like a lot of options to choose from, so you have to figure out which ones are good yourself. But if there was something I would recommend, there's two resources that I would definitely recommend for iOS. One of them is Hacking with Swift, which is made by Paul Hudson. He has like a ton of stuff, and a lot of it is even free. He has this course called 100 Days of Swift, which teaches you how to do Swift programming from the beginning in 100 days. And there's another website that I would definitely recommend, which is rewenlick.com. So this basically the way the Rewenlick works is they have a bunch of written tutorials as well as a bunch of video tutorials. And the written tutorials are entirely free, but for the videos you do have to pay. I did get a subscription to Rewenlick, and the thing is that they have a really extensive library, and the benefit over hacking with Swift, I'd say, is the fact that they have a large number of editors, so there's a lot more content on there. But in terms of quality, I'd say both of them are equally good. So those are the two websites I would recommend. That's rewenlick.com and hackingwithswift.com.
Okay. Right. Thank you for being on, Kabir.
Thank you for having me.
I hope the Supercharge launch goes a lot more smoothly than the initial plan for the Supercharge talk board.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for coming on. Just quick shout outs. Kabir's Twitter is what's your Twitter username? I forget. Do you want to shout that out yourself?
KABIROBERAI.
Okay. The
That's
Talkboard Twitter
yeah, it's a
is
handful.
twitter.com/talkboard. Well, what were you gonna say?
Well, yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying that that's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, so the Twitter for Talkboard is at Talkboard Live. And the Patreon is patreon.com/talkboard. I mention this every week, but there's a ton of cool stuff on there. Definitely check it out. And even like if you go for the really high up tier, which I don't really expect anyone to go for, but it's there if you want it, you can also be shouted out in the show. Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. This episode will be edited and
Also,
out by next week. Oh, yep, go on.
if I can add supercharge.app, go to their website, download Supercharge
Yes,
if you're
and the
interested.
Supercharge Twitter is.
Twitter.com/supercharge app.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good
Thank you.
night.